Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we know that you once came down from heaven and met with Moses on Mount Sinai, that he could hear your word and will and reflect that to your people, whom you had chosen by your grace. And we thank you that you brought us near to you also in the perfect life, the death and resurrection of our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. Let his love control us as we make our way through this journey, that he might be glorified, that we might know the joy of our salvation and share that joy with others along the way. In Jesus' name we pray. And the text is those scripture lessons that were read today. Here again, what Paul says in the first verse, it was while we were still weak. While we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for us. Brothers and sisters, you and I know that our God is a God who always keeps his every promise. And so at the outset of the gospel lesson this morning, God is again keeping a great promise that he had made to Moses. You may remember that sometime before this, there Moses was working as a shepherd, tending his father-in-law Jethro's sheep. When the book of Exodus tells us, not so unusual, he saw a bush that was on fire in the distance, but what was so unusual is, though the bush was on fire, it never was consumed by that fire. Moses walks over near the bush, and the voice speaks out of the bush, "Take off your sandals, Moses, for you're standing on holy ground." And God spoke to him with all his power and might. He said, "I have no small request to make of you. I want you to go to Egypt. Go down there to the Pharaoh. Demand that they at long last be released from 400 years of slavery as a nation." You know, it was a logical choice that God should choose Moses. After all, he grew up in the Pharaoh's own house, and he could speak the Egyptian language perfectly. God worked through a series of events that were both painful and hurtful. When the Pharaoh demanded that the children 2 years and under, the boys, be killed, including the male livestock, how Moses' mother floated him, remember, in that beautiful basket made of tar and bitumen on the Nile River, and how by God's design the Pharaoh's daughter saw him, raised him in the house of Pharaoh. Then he was sent away. But now God says, "I want you, Moses, to go back there to Egypt. I will surely be with you, and this will be a sign for you that when you have brought the people of Israel out of their slavery in Egypt, I'm going to bring you and them both back together to this very place here at the foot of Mount Sinai," which is also spoken of in the book of Exodus at times as Mount Horeb. "I'm going to be with you, and you'll serve me on this mountain once more." And that's exactly what has happened when we pick up the Old Testament lesson today. And then God calls Moses to come up for a private conference with him atop Mount Sinai. And he tells Moses, "I have two things that I especially want you to say to the people when you go back down the mountain. First of all, I want you to remind them of all that I and my grace have done for them. Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and the house of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I've done to the Egyptians, how I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." You know, it's one of the beautiful images, the metaphors that's used in the Bible to speak about the God who's the creator of heaven and earth. In the book of Ezekiel, he's spoken of as the face of an eagle. In the book of Revelation, God is pictured as a flying eagle. Why, if the Carolina wren is the state bird for us here in the Palmetto State, well, let's not forget that the bald eagle is the national bird for all of our country, chosen because of its mighty strength and how it can soar so extremely high into the air and then swoop down on air currents that are graceful. Most of those people knew something that we may not know. that when those parent eagles are caring for their little eaglets that are in the nest, there comes a time when they say the time is right and they break up this very comfortable nest in which the eaglets are resting and taking care, and they're forced to make their first attempt at flight. And though they're little fledgling eaglets, they go so far and then they begin to drop, but the ever watchful eye of the eagle's parents swoops down under that baby eagle and lifts that baby eagle up on their mighty wings. You know, Isaiah says something similar in chapter 40 of his gospel. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up as on wings of an eagle. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. Remember all that I and my grace have done for you to bring you to myself. And then he says, I want you to tell the people of Israel also that if they will obey my voice and they will keep my covenant, that I will make of them, of all the peoples on the earth, my treasured possession. And then I'm going to call them and anoint them and empower them to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You know what a priest does. A priest communicates to people the word and the will of God. And the priest also takes back to God the concerns and the troubles of the people. And in the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, why, that's why you and I are here and all other Christians are gathered in houses of worship today, because he came in the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to reconcile us to the Heavenly Father, that we might have that more abundant life that Jesus talked about, that we might know that God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble, the psalmist says. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth shake and the mountains be carried into the heart of the sea. The Lord of hosts is with us. God is with us, and God is for us. For he who spared not his son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not together with Christ then give us all good things? Why, one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare to die. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to reconcile us to the Heavenly Father. And let's not forget what Paul says also, to save us from the wrath of God, even as he had saved Noah and his family from the wrath of God, even as in his wrath he allowed Israel to be carried off in exile to Babylon and Syria, but then at the appointed hour brought them back. He's redeemed us from sin and death and the power of the devil, and he says to the whole church on earth, you're a chosen race, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, that you may speak forth the marvelous deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his light. Peter says, once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. He's going to make of the church those who, like Israel, will be those who will hear the word and the will of God and then communicate that as best we can to the world. And yet, do you notice the unworthiness always in those whom God chooses? Israel had not proven herself to be worthy. God said he was going to come down the mountain, and when he did, he made his presence known with that flash of lightning and the thunder and the smoke, and the people were so frightened they told Moses, we think we liked it better, Moses, when you went up and had a private consultation with God. And there's something about being in the direct presence of God, as Isaiah did when he was sitting in the temple one day. And the Lord God descended on a throne, and the train of his robe was so long that it filled the whole temple, and there was smoke, and there were six angels. And what did he say? Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord God Almighty, we thank God that He still stoops down to us, even as He did in the incarnation of His beloved Son. In the waters of our baptism, He stoops down and makes us one with Christ. In the celebration of the Holy Supper, He comes and offers us His body and blood that we might know the joy of being His people. Well, today is Father's Day. And it's the day when we want to remember with thanksgiving our fathers. Some have been taken from us and are now with the Lord in heaven. We want to remember how bold it was when Jesus taught His disciples to say to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was known as Yahweh, but whose name was so sacred and holy that no Jewish person would dare to speak that name out loud. When they got to that part in the liturgy, they would simply move their lips. But Jesus says, when you pray, pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Some sons, of course, resemble their fathers in the way they look and the things that they do. But God the Father calls us to resemble His Son. On the night before He died, He washed the disciples' feet. It was a great act of humility on Jesus' part. And Jesus said, "Do you see what I've done for you? This is how you're supposed to live in relationship with one another and with all other people." God wants us to do as Jesus did, to live as Jesus lived, to love as Jesus loved, but also to see as Jesus saw. He saw that multitude of people when He exited the boat on the Sea of Galilee one day that were all helpless and harassed like sheep without a shepherd. He calls those 12 disciples. And have you ever noticed that every time the 12 disciples are listed in the gospel, that St. Peter is mentioned first? And that Judas Iscariot is mentioned last? But there were three people who were not living the best of lifestyle when the Lord called them: Matthew, who was a tax collector, and Simon the Zealot, one who was known to challenge the Roman Empire and their authority in a way that could have brought harm to the Jewish people. And then mentioned last, of course, is Judas. I want to close by telling you a little story about a father whose 16-year-old son has just received his driver's license, and yet he noticed that the father wasn't really willing to loan him the car. And his father, who happened to be a pastor, he went into his father's study one day and said, "How about, Dad, you give me the keys to the car and let me have a little bit more freedom and mobility?" And the dad said, "Well, son, I think I will, but there's some things I'd like you to do first. I'd like you to pull up your grades and bring home a better report card. And then," he said, "what I would like you to do is to spend a little more time in your devotional life reading the Bible. And thirdly, the thing that I'd like you to do is to get a haircut." You know, this was back in the 1970s. And a while later, the son came back in, and his father said, "Well, you've done the first thing. You brought up your grades. You've been much more diligent in your studies. You've been much better being a daily student of the Bible and attending your devotional life. But you still haven't gotten a haircut." To which the son replied, "Dad, I've been noticing in the Bible that Noah had long hair and Moses had long hair. Why, even Jesus and Samson had long hair." The father said, "Yes, you're correct. But have you ever noticed that none of them drove a car?" "They walked. They that wait upon the Lord will rise up like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. Look back on our lives, each of us, people of God, and can't we say, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will take me home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's